It is AFQ. Neil Atkinson, Glenn Affric, Rory, John Gibbons, Mike Kearney, Harry Pryor and Chris Barber all made the trek over on the ferry. More ferry talk in a minute or two. We're right by the entrance to the tunnel. And John, we're in the Glen Affric Brewery, so there's some background noise because this is literally a working brewery around us.
Yeah, I mean, we were meant to do it in the bar and we walked in there and you couldn't hear yourself taking there, could you? We were like, oh, we're probably not going to be able to go in there. So we're in the bar now amongst there. A lot of malt. Everywhere I look is malt, Neil.
Yeah.
Chris Malt, more malt than I've seen in my life.
ChrisMalt.com. If this was a football match, that'd currently be the advert that was running down the side of the pitch. Would be ChrisMalt.com.
I mean, it's the only place I'll go for malt, to be honest, Neil, personally.
I've heard so many good things about them. I've also heard so many good things about this gaff, which it's living up to so far. We've had a couple of nice little drinks, and also they do our beer.
Well, yeah, so we've done our beer with Glen Affric, and we've discovered today that they've got it on tap here. So if you've had the can and you like, that's good in the can, I bet it's amazing in draft. I can confirm it is. And at a decent price as well.
Indeed, absolutely. So get yourself along. It's a very nice bar. They're open on Fridays, presumably Saturdays and Sundays. Friday, Saturday, Sunday, excellent stuff. That just happened off there.
Yeah, straight out the tunnel at Birkenhead. But yeah, no, they looked after us. But yeah, I think there was about 20 beers on tap when we come in. We've just had ours because, you know, we're egomaniacs.
Yeah.
but we'll try some of the other beers eventually, I'm sure.
We will indeed. Harry, you just got the ferry for the first time in your life. How was the ferry?
It was a great experience. Yeah, it was lovely. I've never been to this part of the world before. So yeah, very nice.
I sang for you as well.
You did,
I?
Yeah. We didn't get what was the tune we usually get? You can
ferry
sing it now. Yeah, didn't get that. So John gave me his own rendition.
We got the commuter because, you know, we're business people.
Yeah.
But so because there wasn't a tour, you didn't play Ferry Across the Mersey, so I very kindly sang it behind you. Just as beautifully.
Gave me the full experience, what I needed.
Just as beautifully as Jerry Marsden, I feel.
Mike, would you describe yourself as Whittle Curious?
I'm definitely Whittle Curious, definitely. I've got cousins who live over here, so I've been Whittle Curious for about 7 or 8 years.
Didn't take long, that ferry, did it? Why aren't we all taking it more often?
I mean, they were saying the safety announcement was 7 sharp blasts, and I was thinking to myself, "Well, you don't need the 7 sharp blasts. If you get wet, you know you're in danger. And by the time the 7th one hits, you'll be in Birkenhead anyway."
Yeah, it's a bit like when you get the ferry to the plane to Dublin, and the trolley only gets halfway for the beer. Like, if you, so you're like, "Where's that going to start? Because if it starts the wrong end, we're not getting a bevy here." And then I don't know. I haven't had great luck with it.
Chris, you ever been to Amsterdam?
Yeah.
So why, for me, the ferry is absolutely incredible there, but there's loads of them in Amsterdam. They get you here, there, and everywhere. We could just be doing that. We could be getting the ferry to New Brighton. It took no time at all.
Oh, it's an absolute joy. Razzle dazzle, too. Lovely bit of work. The paint job. I mean, that first question was really like 4 a.m. MTV chat show. Like, box. Really threw me. Yeah, I mean, I'm not here to draw similarities or differences between over the water and the capital of Holland, but I don't think there's many. Potentially, there's probably drug use, but there's less canals and bridges. But yeah, I don't know. I like getting the ferry. I've not done it for a little while, and I was glad that. To be fair, I was glad the commuter ferry didn't have the song, because I used to feel sorry for those commuters that would have to hear it 3 times with the lady telling you that's the biggest brick building in the world next to the Titanic Hotel. And I was like, how'd you do a day's work after that much information and that much, Jerry? But yeah, no, yeah, it's always a joy. I like it.
Just got me singing instead.
Honestly, I'm banging to the Amsterdam comparison. The ferries are free. You get on them, they get you to the other side, they go there and everywhere. You could have a ferry, John. You could be joining up the Baltic and Birkenhead right now. You could be able to go from here to the Baltic. I'm just a man with a dream.
I know, yeah. I mean, that's a good shout, actually, because there's talk of a Baltic train station every now and again, but I don't think they're thinking big enough, Neil.
Boats.
And as it was your idea, I feel like you agree.
Never looked at the big picture and I thought it couldn't be bigger.
So there you are. Yeah, I mean, you could, yeah, the things we could do. I might just have me breakfast on it, I think. I'll be coming to ferry, just take me Weetabix on, just have a lovely sit. I feel ready for anything now, especially all this beer that's plonked in front of us.
Indeed. We will be drinking it as we're going all the way through on this AFQ. We will start to do your questions right now, and the first one comes from Tom Chris, and he asks this: you're transplanting a footballer's haircut onto yourself. Who and what are you taking? Tom, who, by the way, supports Aston Villa, he's one of the people who subscribes to the Anfield Rap, who doesn't support the Reds. But him and I have bonded over a mutual love of Jack Grealish. So you're transplanting a footballer's haircut onto yourself. Who and what are you taking? And he is going for Fowler's peroxide mess. That's the haircut he would like to just put on his own head right now. Chris, what haircut do you want?
There's two clear roads here, aren't there? There's Ronaldo 02, or there's, like, footballers have nice haircuts and they have their haircut every day. So, like, I mean, I'm starting to, when in the last 12 months, I definitely just shaved the sides of my head and tried to slick back, but far too fluffy for me. I've not got the Grealish slick. There's your man. Oh, is it Palacios, the rat tail? Like, just to see my girlfriend's face.
Like, oh, you're engaged now. She's
agreed,
mate.
Just to see,
yeah, she agreed to them.
She's financially inclined now, yeah. Because, like I said, footballers have great hair, but they also have bad hair. And I think, given the option, imagine having bad hair. It'd be great. I'm sat here with, obviously, saying I've got good hair. I would go for... I'm going Ronaldo 02. I'm having a footprint on my head.
I don't think people appreciate how hard it is to do like a nice low bun that looks really slick back and smooth. And Van Dijk just nails it every single time. So I really need that in my life. I mean, I try and put my hair up in a ponytail. I wouldn't go for any short hair looks. I think that would really suit me. But I want a nice, slick back bun. No bumps, no frizz. And Van Dijk nails that every time.
What do you think of the way he looks when he undoes it? Oh. What's your outlook on that one?
Yeah, I love Van Dijk. I'm never going to say a bad word about Van Dijk. But, you know, it's just amazing. I love how he used his hair like transformation over the years. It used to be a bit more frizzy, and you know, as he's got better football, I feel like his hair's got better as well. But I follow that development. So,
okay, Mike, what haircut are you having?
I reckon Steven Gerrard, young Steven Gerrard, is probably what young Mike Kearney was. just skinhead, absolutely.
And he goes forward.
Yeah, one haircut for the whole of his life, really, Steven Gerrard, and I was like that, really, but. That one maybe because I've had it in the past, but I can't get past Van Dijk, to be honest. And when he takes it down and does a little head shake, and like it's erotic, really.
John,
well, it's funny because he talks about the Fowler peroxide, because I tweeted last night I've come full circle on Phil Foden's hair. Like, I reckon he has gone
from
how.
Have that.
No, I'm into it. I'm honestly, I'm having it. Like, because I think like because of the Fowler thing, it reminds me of that. Any Euro 96 vibes, I'm all into. Do you know what I mean? And so like I've gone from Phil Foden having the worst haircut in the Premier League, which was inexcusable, to now just turning up looking like Gazza to your first Euros. Is like, you've got to have some balls on you to do that. And like, I think he looks cool. So, well, maybe not cool, but I think
it's
he looks...
the most Mancunian thing you've ever seen.
Nah, his old haircut was the most Mancunian thing you've ever seen. Or the most Stockport thing you've ever seen. But the bleach blonde hair for the Euros, like, he's a showman, and I'm into it. You know what I mean? Everyone's being safe. He's mocked up. He's like, yeah, I'm ready to go. Bring it on. And I hope he has a lovely Euros.
It's not the colour. It's the cut. Like, I don't mind the colour so much. It's just the straight cut.
I know. I don't know. I don't know what it is. But
it's
I like
grown
it.
On you.
I was like, fair play. He's done that. I don't know. Maybe I'm feeling a bit more positive about him because City aren't playing at the moment. But yeah, no. But I'm not picking that one because I'm too old. I just love it all around Mo Salah head, I think. You know, so the hair and beard. I think you need the beard for it to really go.
Yeah.
But an all round Mo Salah would just make me look cheery, I think.
The head, facial hair chat, we all must agree on Alisson's moustache. But probably can't pull it off because we're not Alisson Becker.
It's a moustache that dominates a face. So your face has got to be absolutely on point. Otherwise you're just on the back foot from minute one, unfortunately. All right then, there's that one. Just in general, as I am going through the questions, I've not looked ahead because I try not to cheat. How's everyone feeling around the Euros? In our office, I've been asking people all week, and basically everyone's always surprised that it's kicking off soon. So Chris, it's tomorrow. How are you feeling about the Euros? Are you prepared for it yet as a whole full-on tournament, or is it still coming as a bit of a surprise?
I feel like I'm a couple of weeks late to talk about proper European football. But I can accept that. In terms of the Euros, I don't know. I mean, so I grew up, obviously, Chelsea, North West, kind of always supporting them on my own. And then England are playing, I'd have, like, mates for footy, and it'd be great. And then I've moved here and sort of wholly unarsed on the main around, like, summer tournaments. So it was... but no, in terms of, like, I mean, I went to the screen down on the docks in 18. It was pumping. I'm looking forward to it. I just fucking love footy. And like three games a day and more of it, I don't know what there is to complain about. I think there's some quite like fun little teams in there too. Some good little players dotted around, like the Turkeys and North Macedonia, Hungary and people like that. I mean, I watch every game and I'll work out a way I can get my class to watch the 2 o'clock kickoffs. I managed it for 5 years ago. I'm 3 years ago. We had a Boss little system. Wicked little chart. We had 90 minutes, 9 kids, 10 minutes each, right? 3 teachers, and anything that happened, they draw the numbers out during the game. Anything that happened, they'd get to like do certain things. And if there was a penalty shoot, if England won a shootout, they could chuck water balloons at me. And I went to school, like, I got in about 4. And that water balloon was the most welcome thing I've ever had. Some kid from West Derby, 8-year-old, just absolutely bouncing off my head. It was absolutely class. But yeah, we'd have both teams, a goal, you just jibbed your work. If the other team scored, the old class jibbed their work. It was absolutely wicked. Yeah, don't tell my boss. Like,
I wish Barbara was my teacher. What can he teach me, Chris?
It's a big question. I feel again, it's very Vox Pop, 4 a.m. MTV, that again.
It was a rhetorical question, to be honest with you, Chris. I wasn't here to say, what can you teach me? I was just like, you know, I just think you'd be lovely. It was funny because me and Neil ended up going to that doc thing because we had someone who was basically in Liverpool, who's not from Liverpool, and they were here, and they were like, well, let's meet up, and they were like, well, we'll meet up, oh, with England, she watched the England game, we were like, well, let's just watch it there, it's like the best place in town to watch it, why go to, it was a beautiful night, wasn't it, the Croatia game we went to, the semi-final, so we were like, why don't we watch it there, so we managed to sort of like some tickets, and sort of get in, and it was Boss, do you know what I mean, it was like, I always remember, do you know, every now and again, they show the games at Glastonbury, and they say they're not getting because they're hate footy. And but then they're like, oh, all right, we'll watch it, we'll show it. And it sort of felt like that, really. And again, I cheered the Liverpool goal, I laughed at the Croatia goal. It took a little bit too long to get served, but apart from that, it was brilliant. But we had a nice time, didn't we, Neil?
Well, yeah, I think the funny England thing is for me, is that you can find yourself sort of happy to see the lads that you know do well, but you can also be entertained when the opposition do well. And that's one of the reasons why, for instance, we're not doing the hot mic stuff. We talked about that just before, but we talked about it a couple of times, haven't we, that... It's knowing where to pitch that. Like, I'm very uniquely not bothered about all Euros matches, but in a really good way, and that I'm looking forward to watching them. All of them. There's no, you know, the one thing I don't want to have to do is care about how anyone's progression through the groups is going to go and who they're going to get in the last 16, especially now that there's the third place thing and all that. John, I'm just sort of like, I will switch the telly on. There'll be a football match and it might be quite good and it might sweep me along with it.
Yeah, and I think it's been that madder year and that madder season for everyone and that madder sort of situation that I think it could be quite a mad Euros as well. And I think the players are going to really enjoy it because they've had like a bit of a strange situation. They're with new people, they're with the sort of mates, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So these footballers have been playing
these
last
few years, weirdly,
basically,
camps and stuff.
So it'll feel like, you know, coming home, you know, you've had a year in uni or something, and then they're coming home in the summer for all the mates with school, and they're going on a weird, weird holiday to Tenerife. That's what it'll sort of feel like, really. And fucking hell, we're playing a game. And, you know, I mean, they probably won't drink quite as much. But there'll be loads of team. There'll be loads of pool. So it'll be that, you know what I mean? Loads of swimming, loads of playing pool.
Yeah.
Trying to talk to girls, but don't. That sort of thing. It'll be a similar vibe. I'm really looking forward to it. I think there might be some mad games. I think the players are just going to really enjoy it. And I think that'll be sort of leading on to some really good football. We've got a prediction league as well, so look out for that. I'll put it on our Twitter and stuff like that. So people want to do, you've got to get your predictions in for the whole first round before the first kickoff. But do have a look out for that.
Don't mind today.
Yeah. Well, we'll put up a signed 96-97 Robbie Fowler shirt as a prize for the winner as well, so it's worth getting involved. So look out on our social media or just message me if you need the link and I'll set you up. It could be good fun.
What's your Euros awareness, Harriet? Because mine is very limited. I've had a really big 48 hours of educating myself. Before that point, I could not have told you. I think if you'd got me to do the thing where you guess who the teams are, I'd have probably got 12 before I got one wrong. It's snuck up on me.
Yeah, it's definitely snuck up on me as well. I mean, I've had quite a big week. I've had a birthday this week. I'm not trying to have excuses, but it's all sort of crept up on me. I've moved house. A lot's been going on. So did not acknowledge at all that it was starting tomorrow. It is tomorrow, isn't it? Literally happening tomorrow. So yeah, that's not really, it's kind of passed me by.
Turkey, Italy. And I only know this before because Steve Warnock walked into our office before and said right. It.
Turkey look lively to me as well.
Do they?
Yeah, I like the look of Turkey. They've got two good lads who've just won the league with Lille, and so I think they're ready to party. Yeah.
What's your man up front? Ilmez, yeah. He's like 50 as well, which is class.
Well, 35, come on. It's not exaggerating.
That's the best thing about European football is you get them like old boys who are like king of their country.
But he's just not...
I love it.
Yeah. Yeah, he's never international record scorer. How many has he scored? 89. You're like, oh yeah, that'll do it.
200 caps.
yeah. But But yeah, they were...
Found the country.
Yeah, he's king now. He's just going to finish playing. And then he's
King Julian plays up front from Madagascar.
Really? Yeah, unreal. But yeah, I've got my eye on Turkey because I reckon these lads who just won the league with Lille are ready to party.
Yeah. I kind of want to find a team to back so that I'm invested in it more, because at the moment I'm watching England, I'm not that invested if they score or if they lose or whatever happens. So I feel like I need a team to back and then do some score predictions, and then I'll be actually wanting to know what goes on in all the games.
I think that is the thing. It is finding ancillary stuff, Mike. What is your what is your level of Euros excitement?
Mainly, but like you were saying before, there's a game of football on telly. We'll watch it and see where it goes. And I to be honest, I like all the prediction things, the finding a cheeky angle of having a little five or three bet on maybe like a top goal scorer and winner, or looking for them sort of markets. You always, World Cups and Euros, you always like doing these big mad accumulators on the first round of fixtures. And then
draws. Wales.
Yeah, like draws all over the shop, and then Slovakia will beat someone mad and you'll be like, fucking hell, never seen that coming. Like, where have they popped up from there? Big John Oblak in goal, Jan Oblak saving everything. Are they even in the Euros? Who knows?
Slovakia might be, yeah, but I'm not 100%.
One of them, innit? If they play, it'd be nice to see him save Everton. Everyone kicking the ball at the goal as hard as they can, and Jan Oblak just catching it like it's not.
I think that should be the tagline of the Euros. Are they even in the Euros? Who knows? Is it Euro 2021? Are they even in the Euros? Who knows? Where are the games getting played? No idea. Who qualifies? I'm vague. To be honest. But you know what? Some young men will have a nice time. They'll run round. And we'll enjoy watching them run round and kick the ball. Mike, who's going to win it?
I think it's hard to look past France. France, and I suppose that group is a bit tough, isn't it? This is the most level of Euros knowledge I've got, is that group looks fucking hard.
But three of them will probably get through.
Yeah.
It looks like no fucking battle will last for Hungary.
Peter Galaxy isn't having no fun in goal there. There's like absolutely no fun for Peter Galaxy. Someone out of that group, I would say Portugal, Germany, France, maybe Spain. Because from what I've seen the other day, when they played Portugal, apparently with a better team, should have won, finished 0-0. So I'm out of them four, I wouldn't see any other surprises coming out. And like there's no Greece 2004 happening, I don't think.
Okay, who's going to win?
I think Portugal. I'm going to go for Portugal. I'm just going rogue. I've just picked one out of the three Mike just said, and I'm rolling with it. So there we go.
I like it. Maybe they're your lads, John.
I think France, but I did a talking red to him mode the other day, and he's taught me into Italy.
I haven't been beaten for fucking ages, is what Steve Warnock said to me not long ago.
Yeah.
So I can remember that piece of information.
It's really good of you to credit Steve Warnock with all this, by the way, because...
Just walked into our office and told us shit. It was fucking great.
I know, but I just passed it off as my own knowledge.
Clean sheets for days as well, and that's like typical Italy, isn't it? You'd expect
the group's pissed, and then they're just going to fucking knock out the fuck out of it. That was Mo's argument. So yeah, Mo taught me into Italy, but I said France, so I'm sticking with it.
Chris?
I was going to say, I think Italy. I think the Dutch could be a laugh as well.
No veg, though, with his lovely bun.
Yeah, oh yeah, exactly. In Little Memphis, which is the coolest fucking first name in football. but I don't know, like I said, the management is working out. Like, you sort of think the groups are going to do that thing Eurovision now do, where it's all set, and then they just lob, just points out. And it just goes, whoop, 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 whoop.
I didn't know about the third place in the group. Like, that just makes it a bit mad.
It's 24, isn't it?
Yeah, so it's the six groups and the best four third place teams get through. So it's 24 to 16, which, to be fair, Italia 90 wasn't Italia 90 was boss.
John there, proving the first rule of all international tournament analysis, which is you love the one that was when you were 8 or 9. That is the way it works. Whether it was boss or not is irrelevant. If you were 8 or 9, it's the one that you say was absolutely brilliant. It was amazing. You couldn't touch it. I'm lucky I've got both Euro 88 with Hullet and Van Basten and Rijkaard.
No, I can't remember.
And Italia 90 to fall back on. Zach Osterman's been on, and he wants to know, Mike, what is the best 90s one-hit wonder? Bit. I mean, I will also be, if I can be, an absolute bell end about the definition of one hit wonder. Like, if I think there was a fucking follow up hit, I'm going to tell you. So, Chris Isaac's Wicked Game doesn't count because Blue Motel also charted. So, I'm just setting the rules for everybody there in the outset. Best 90s one hit wonder, Mike, and then Chris.
When was the last ketchup? Was that 2000?
Oh, that's millennial.
That's 2000s, that mate. It's unlucky, though.
I would have said that, you see, but I think that might be just 2000s. I said 90s has got me, you know, because I was 92, I was born, so I was fairly young. Eiffel Tower, Eiffel Tower. I've just called them Eiffel. Yeah. Can you tell us what they're called?
65.
Eiffel 65.
Mike, did you know the lyrics? I thought it was, I'm blue, if I was green, I would die. Yeah.
I love that you've overcomplicated it.
Yeah, I thought, well, yeah, what a civilization.
There's only two words in the song, and you've like, you've added some.
No, it's just the game in French, after the blue. And I thought, yeah, if I was green, I would die. And I thought, bloody hell, it's like West Side Story.
All I can tell you is I know the words, I'm blue, and I couldn't really.
I'm green, no, sorry.
I like your version better, though, I think.
Bit of civil war in the primary colour world. I'm going to go. Again, I'm happy to be wrong on the 90s. I was also 92. I'm going to go Chesney Hawkes. He's the 80s. If I dropped a bollock. He's
probably had another hit, though.
So only because I'm choosing him because he played my brother's freshers and he started with I'm the One and Only and then played loads of like hits well outside of his sort of remit, like Beatles and whatever. And then ended I'm One and Only again. And then tried another song. They started booing. So he came back out and did it again. I think that's the classic one hit wonder of three times in your own set. So I'm going Chesney Hawkes.
Yeah, all right, okay, we'll have it, we'll accept it. It's so hard, there's so many boss ones. Do you know what, Four Non Blondes, What's Going On, for me, is such a tune, and yeah, I'm going to go with that.
Have they not got another one though, like Neil's point before?
I'm not sure.
I don't think they've got something else that hit the top 10.
I doubt even top 30.
Yeah, personally. I think is it called What's Up?
What's Up.
What's Up.
Do you know it, Chris? Do you want me to sing it? Because it's really hard to sing, but I'll have a go.
Yeah, I know it, but yeah, I want to hear it. I want to know it.
Fabio Costamersi,
I
want to
forget it. I want to hear your version forever. I want to shut my eyes and hear your. How are we classing Wonder? Like top three, top 10? I think.
Notable.
But Wonder's a bit, yeah, Wonder's me, because top 10 I think is all right. Because you follow up, you ride the end of your own wave, don't you?
What decade? I don't know, I'm sort of robbing the question here a bit, like, but what decade do you reckon had the most one-hit wonders?
90s was different, wasn't it? It just cut different than 90s.
There's loads of groups in that in the 90s, isn't there? Like Spice Girls.
Yeah,
and,
but...
Or they dominate the 90s.
90s was the peak era for the record industry, so...
But then Simon Cowell was lashing out contracts in the noughties.
He was, but I think the 90s, like, labels were just lashing money at people and just seeing what happened, and if it didn't happen, then they weren't arsed.
I feel like Michelle McManus would have something to say to you right now.
No. I think the 90s was like, I'll just fucking see what sticks, because they were, like, throwing spaghetti at the wall and, like, just seeing what fell up, because he had the money. Now they're a lot more careful.
Harriet?
I mean, I was only alive for literally the last couple of years of the 90s, so... feel like my knowledge is quite limited. What about that guy that did Dancing on Ice? Vanilla Ice, Ice Baby, is that one? Is that in the 90s?
Yeah.
He ended up on Dancing on Ice. But
90s
and
a one-hit wonder, I think. No, he did well.
He might be late 80s.
He also did some with the Tails as well, which probably charted.
It's as good as you're going to get from me.
I'm arguing with myself.
Have to take it,
I think he's 1990. He has one follow-up that does all right.
The thing with the Tails, which I think did well.
I remember
the best band night ever in Liverpool was 10 bands, 10 minutes. Sam Walkerdine, who works with us, and is fabulous. So 10 bands, 10 minutes was put on by Married to the Sea. So the concept of 10 bands, 10 minutes, which was incredible, was it would every 10 bands, 10 minutes would have a theme. And bands would play a 10-minute set, and within that 10-minute set, they could play whatever they wanted of their own material, but they had to play one song that was in the theme. So the theme tended to be albums. So I went to a 10 bands, 10 minutes, where the theme was Dookie by Green Day. So everyone played something off Dookie. So what was great about it was if the band got on stage, if they were shit, which is a very live thing in an unsigned band night, it's fair to say, even if I'm being pleasant.
And they were generous to the friends.
I mean, Married to the Sea would headline the night in every sense.
That's a man who was often three down on the bill. Yeah.
The number of times you saw John play trumpet fourth act. So the way this would work would be you'd have to play, you'd play 10 minutes and you'd play one song that went with the theme. So what was really good was whoever was on stage, one, if they were shit, they're about to get off, so that's all right. And two,
turnarounds as well.
And two, the other thing is they're going to play one, you know. So you've at least got the relaxation that they're going to play one, you know. But they did one that was One Hit Wonders. And I just got myself into a right fucking pickle arguing the toss with everybody. It wasn't dignified, Chris. I'd had a pint.
you were a laugh that night.
Wait a minute, I got Google on with last ketchup.
To be fair, I played with Silent Steve and they did one that was questionable at best.
What did they do?
McCartan and Butler.
They have about three hits.
I know, but who's going to argue with Chris Mack, that lovely face?
Well, yeah, it feels as though I was, and that was why. It was one of those nights where I can look back and remember that I ruined almost everybody. So, well, in. Here is another crazy win.
Friends theme tune is boss song as well. Like, because you don't think about it, because it's just a Friends theme tune. And that is a genuine one, I wonder.
Yeah.
And it is definitely the 90s. But then now you're like, oh, yeah, it was a banger, to be fair.
Yeah. Were you with the Bruce Springsteen one?
Yeah.
Hot Club were incredible.
Well, Hot Club the Pirates were an excellent Liverpool band, and I would encourage everyone to look into them. They did a song called Shipwrecked, which I've stolen as a knight now in Liverpool. Oh, if they're listening. And one of them prints our T-shirts now, actually. So if they're listening, I didn't steal it. Yeah, we
heard.
David Powell's been on, and he wants to know what other lyrics from football songs ought to be beers. I'll go to John first on this one, so other people have got time to think about it, because John's been part of a group of people who've been thinking about this, so he should probably have a quick answer. So what other lyrics from any football songs, doesn't have to be Liverpool, what other lyrics from football songs ought to be beers? We'll go John, then we'll go Chris, then we'll go Mike, then we'll go Harriet.
Yeah, so we are in Glenafric, and we did a beer called Something, but we had to change the name for legal reasons, so we've called the beer Every Other Saturday. And that is a lyric from a Liverpool song, of course. So every other Saturday, we feel is a nice name. We had a lot of different alternatives, and I'm just buying time now for everyone else. But we had a lot of alternatives that were both lyrics to Liverpool songs, and obviously You'll Never Walk Alone is a mine of these things, because it's a beautiful song with beautiful words. But also, Joe, who's here from Glenafric, put a thing out to his mates, and they come up with some belters. Sammy IPA. Really, like,
oh, I need thought of puns.
Brilliant,
yeah. Not a second.
Yeah. Sammy IPA was a belter. What was the other one, Joe? Genie in a bottle. Yeah. But he's left now, so fuck him.
Genie's out the bottle.
Yeah. Oh, bollock. Right. Okay. I'm straight. All I was thinking straight away is obviously Chelsea aren't known for their clever chants.
Blue is the colour.
Well, I was thinking, just Chelsea. Chelsea. But then Sammy, I'm now
one step beyond to be a good name for a bit.
It actually would. Thanks for you saved me there. Massively saved me, because my face has gone hot now thinking of puns.
For any Welsh people out there, I might butcher it, but I think Swansea sing a song called Hymns and Arias. And I like it. I think it's just, I don't know the words on it, but it just sounds nice. So I think that's what they call that song, Hymns and Arias.
That'd be a good name for a beer.
It would be a good name for a beer. I think that's what the name is. I hope it is anyway, because it sounds great and I would drink it.
I mean, I'm channeling Red Bull vibes now. What is it Red Bull gives you wings? I'm thinking Mo Salah running down the wing, something like that. Something to do with the wing, like, you know, something like that.
Down the wing is perfectly good. That'll work. That, I mean, think about
it. Down, Joe.
Danny Drinkwater's worth a shout, surely. There's something.
Okay, next one. I don't want to do another music one right now. Oh, I quite like this from Sebastian Fack. F-A-C-H is his name there. It's not just Chris swearing. And it is this. That was very good, by the way. It deserved more. What is your favourite starter, Harriet? So, what is your favourite starter? You're in a restaurant. It can be any genre of restaurant. What is the starter you'd like to have?
I'm thinking prawn crackers, because I had prawn crackers for lunch today, which is very rare. But prawn crackers isn't really a starter, is it? That's more of like a preamble. So I'm going to go with a really good bruschetta. You know, if you're in Italy and you have like a really well done bruschetta, but substandard bruschetta is not the one. But if you actually done it well, garlic. I mean, I don't know how to make it. I don't know why I'm starting the ingredients, because that's where it ends. Garlic, tomatoes, bread. Yeah.
Italy.
There you go. Italy. There you go. Sorted. Good enough for me.
I mainly find myself going for halloumi fries, halloumi, anything. But, oh God.
Fries, yeah.
Yeah, halloumi fries, falafel, decent. Yeah, probably one of them too, yeah. Something, I like doing like it. When you go to a place and it's got like four or five starters, and it's like, say, three or four, yeah, non-COVID times, you'd all be sharing and having a laugh. And I like that. Getting involved with a bit of effort.
On that, I think James Corden's done a lot wrong. That bit in Gavin and Stacey about not sharing takeaways, I think that's the worst thing he's ever done. Because that's the best thing about takeaways. It's like you just dip in and dip out. I love it.
I'm very indecisive, so I love it. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? I'll just have a bit of yours. Do you know what I mean? Like, yeah, I'm all about it. All about it. This is hard for me, Neil, because I love starters. Do you know what I mean? I think they're the best. Best bit. I'd just have starters. I'd be fine with that.
Yeah, I went to international starter. It's a restaurant of starters.
No.
It's class. There's one in Edinburgh. We'll go. Let's run there.
I'll be walking there for charity next month. Neil's up the wall with it. It's hard because I think the Chinese, first of all, great sets of lads. And secondly, do the best starters. I went to Luban a couple of weeks ago. Luban's an amazing restaurant in Liverpool. And I had some ribs there were like unreal, absolutely unreal. But if you ask me, like, my favourite ever starter, me one way, if I'm in the restaurant, I'll always get it. And I can't remember what it's called in Turkish, but it's the feta rolls. And it's called Siguri Bagari or something like that. I've just butchered that. I apologise. I apologise to our Turkish listeners. But it's feta cheese cigars, basically. The best thing about Germany is, I'll tone that down. One of the best things about Germany is, so like in Liverpool where chippies are, I know.
I wasn't a Germany fan, mate. I was in there before they were big.
Nice. Bear with me. So, this beer's strong joke. chippies in Liverpool tend to be Chinese people, whereas in Germany it's Turkish. And so you can go to chippies and they sell these feta cigars, like just in fucking chippies, do you know what I mean? And so you can just go in, buy one, carry on with your night out. It's absolutely unreal. It's unreal. So
chippy tapas.
Discovering that in Hamburg, there's chippies on the streets who'll do you these little feta cigar fellas. And then
the
cigars
throw me a bit, you know. Like, are you just describing the shape here?
Yeah, the shape, yeah. You don't smoke
you
it.
You don't smoke the feta.
No, it's like it's a feta spring roll, effectively.
So, crucially, the best thing John thinks about Germany is Turkish chippies.
I'm telling it down.
One of the good things. I don't know. I love starters, but I'm a man between two bus stops of a starter should just be like the size of a main, and then you have another main after. That's probably why I'm sort of obese.
Italians have got it right.
Yes.
Smack well starter.
Yeah.
They have it. Yeah. All the pasta is starter.
Yeah. Carbs are your starter. Yeah, and then the meat sweats. Love that. But I think, yes, there's anything that's like anything that could pass off as a main. But also, I love it when I'm picturing like sort of out of like suburban pub and you order the parfait and it's like a fucking jar. It's like a jar of like the sort of thing you'd buy at a farmer's market when you and it's just a starter, it's all yours. And they give you like one bit of bread, saying just spooning like cereal, like John on the ferry. Just spooning power. Love that. That'd be me.
Okay, all really, really solid. Next one's from Ty and O'Connor. Ty and O'Connor. And it's this. I think he's meant to ask this question to my wife. Any double standards you're completely okay with? So any double standards that you're completely okay with? John looked at me immediately. I was laughing at the joke. Oh, okay. I'll pass over you then. Harry, it's any double standards you're completely okay with?
Trying to think of some double standards. Anyone else got one? They can go, but I'm trying to...
Mike, any double standards you're completely okay with?
I don't know, to be honest. I think if you... What's the preface of the meeting? Like, if you're okay with something, it shouldn't
be... No, I've got one. So it's fair to say I go out more than my wife. And I'm fine with her going out. But when she wakes me up coming in, I'm fucking fuming. And it's completely irrational. And I know it's irrational. And before I go to bed, I'm like, don't do that thing you do where she wakes you up and you're pissed off. But go to sleep. And then an hour later, she wakes you up. She's a bit noisy, and you're like, you're so pissed off. Whereas, like, I reckon I'm 20-1 doing it to her than she is to me.
I reckon I've got a couple. One is, listen, if I'm stood up on a bus and there's a pregnant lady or an old person, I'm like, you pricks, stand up. If I've got a seat, I'm looking around going, well, I'm too far away. They don't want to sit here right next to the button. No. And the other one is coming straight off the back of starter chat is the old Live Tory Vote Labour. Like, listen, get me a bit of like, I can't believe it's not butter. Fine. If you're whipping up some butter and some salty crystals in there, I'll have it. And that's my double standard. I think it's probably, Live Tory Vote Labour. Do you know what I mean?
We can all get behind that. as long as the voter is the essential bit.
Same can be said. Yeah, exactly. Same can be said aloud. Say yeah, exactly. Same that shower.
I'm gonna do my way around shit.
I wonder where your shoes were. Same can be said about shower gels. I won't spend money on them, and I'm annoyed when Cass does, but I love using it. I love smelling so fruity.
For me, honestly, there has been and there can be entire shows done on products that your partner brings into the shower and how much you enjoy them and your sheer reluctance to contribute financially towards them at any stage. Bath bombs, yeah.
That's just sensible. That's a double standard.
Well, it's yes, it is sensible, but it's absolutely luxurious. Any double standards?
Yeah, I think, well, this isn't a very good one, but when people have really long coffee orders in front of me in the queue, it really annoys me. But when I get to the front of the queue, I'm like, I'll have a nice chai latte with an oat milk and a dash of vanilla and all sorts, and it really annoys when people are in front of me. So there you go.
It's a good one.
That is a good one.
The bar things are shouting it, like when you're absolutely hanging out for a pint in the old days again, when you're like queuing for the bar and you're going, fucking hell, I just want a bevy, and then it's your round, and then that's fine.
My one on that one, Mike, is I am terribly impatient if someone else has gone the bar in my stead to get our round in, and then they take ages to bring it back. But if I go the bar and it's taken ages for any one of a variety of reasons, I couldn't be more defensive.
Yeah, you want a round of applause when you get back. Yeah, like, that's been fucking grafted.
You've got no idea what I've just fucking gone through. Whereas if I'm sat there the other side, I am fucking calling that prick everything who's gone the bar.
I mean, I'm a big Guinness drinker. If I'm at the bar, let it set. Watch it. Let it go. I want the black and I want the white. If I'm not at the bar, I'm like, I want it to still be like moody. I want to have it straight, like almost from the tap. But yeah, if you're queuing, let it set. Look after it.
I think what we found out here is that we're all awful hypocrites, which is all absolutely fine. I am banging to it. Every last bit of it. Okay, what have we got next? Andy's asked something that I don't think entirely makes sense, and so ask him again next week if you could. Things you think your 20-year-old self would tell you now. That normally works the other way around. And then he put question mark offs after it. Things you think your 20-year-old self would tell you now.
Has Andy been here first?
It's done 2 hours.
Pete Smith asks this, Mike. Your son gets signed by Everton and becomes a regular first teamer. What's your approach to supporting him / the Ev? Take it seriously.
I mean, immediate shock that this son that's just all of a sudden appeared in my life.
Plays for the Ev. Doesn't just play for the Ev. He's number 9 and he's good.
I think we've sort of got an example of this, haven't we? Carragher's dad was a blue.
Yep.
But I would hate to be as into it as Carragher's dad got into the Reds. I don't think I could. And I'd be happy for him doing well. But I'd still like Liverpool to be the best.
All sorts of abusive songs about this number 9 who scored 32 league goals for Everton in a season. Rattling round Anfield. Calling them all sorts. Listen to the rumours. Led by you.
Led by me, of
okay.
The best bit, isn't it? Having a go at your own kid. Wanker.
John Ted finds himself getting an Everton contract. He does ever so well. He comes through the youth system. He's the best number 10 they've had in many a year. He's got a beautiful silky touch. Watch your move.
I would look at you copites and hang you one by one on the banks of the River Blue Mersey. I get banging to it. I can't imagine ever like hating Liverpool. Because obviously I loved them so much, but I kept banging. So I'd have a box and everything. Like, it'd be brilliant. So, it's funny with Ted, because, like, before he was born and when he was born and when he was, like, a proper baby, you're like, I'm not that bothered whether he gets into footy or not. Honestly, as soon as he kicks the ball for the first time, you're like, oh my God. Like, well, then we are better than the dads still on your lad to play for England.
Yeah, Chris Kirkland's our fella.
Yeah. Honestly, all that. I was like, Lord, he's kicking with 2 feet there. He's kicking with 2 feet. And Lord is like, he's tripping over the ball. Do you know what I mean?
Have you seen his face?
But with 2 feet, though. Honestly, I went, as someone who was like, oh, I'm not that bothered if he gets it. You know, you can choose his own path. You know what I mean? I was like, fully in when he started like kicking a footy.
So absolutely Meg John on the park one day. And then that might change.
I'm on, no, so if you play for Everton, like, I'll be there every week, I'll be watching it, man. Yeah, you just would end up getting into it, but, like, the whole, like, you know, as I say, the nastiness I can't ever imagine. But yeah, I'd love it. It'd be brilliant.
Harry, what are you doing?
I think it depends on the approach. Like, why have they got there? Why is their route taking them to play for Everton? Like, they're not good enough for Liverpool. If they're not good enough for Liverpool, you'd feel a bit bad for them, and you'd be like, all right, you know what, I'll support your move. But if they're good enough, then they're choosing to go to Everton, then you've got to be a bit critical, you know? I'd be a supportive... I haven't got children, but I'd be a supportive mum, but it'd be pretty hard.
Would you want a child of yours to be infected with Evertonianism?
I don't know if to say this or not.
It'd be Spurs for you, wouldn't it?
Well, yeah, because I mean, I don't really mind Everton. Truth be told, like, I'd be all right. I wouldn't mind.
Funny though, aren't they?
That's why I like him, I think. Because Chelsea are dead serious, and so like you have a bit of light relief. I think I'd probably be all right with it. Like I said, I've often mused to like a couple of mates. I reckon if I do have kids, and I do want little Scouse kids, 100%. I can't wait. Fuck off, Dad. Tory cunt. Southern soft bastard. I can't like that'd be just wicked. But I do think season ticket. I'd probably rather go Goodison Weekly with my own kid than Anfield, because Everton are down the league for me. So I can be a Chelsea fan and an Everton fan. I can't be a Chelsea fan and Liverpool fan. I mean, imagine in 2000, what am I doing? Is it a goal? No, no. But it's my kid's birthday, so. Yeah, okay, I'll let him have this one. No, it's tricky. It's tricky.
The Blues sell him in a heartbeat. Let's have it right. Third goal of the season, he'd be off for one season.
Oh, thanks, Mike. That's the nicest thing you've ever said about my unborn children.
I feel like I need to review the beer, by the way. I've just had mango across the maze.
What?
It's fucking excellent.
What is this?
Nutella.
Nutella. Hazelnut and chocolate porter. It is absolutely tremendous. It is
saving that for last,
delightful.
Like,
genuinely delightful. What's this one? Don't know. The little ones are all little bits and pieces. The honestly, the Nutella one is tremendous. Absolutely tremendous.
Yeah, I'm not losing it. I'm giving that, but if you want to know.
All right, then. Next one is from...
no, if, you know what I mean? I was saving that.
You were fucking right away. Yeah, I could tell. The next one is from Thomas Orlando. And he asks this. What is the biggest tangible fear? So not death or existence itself, but still more like things like wasps or other things you come across in your life. So Harry, what is your most tangible fear?
I'm not fussed by things most people are scared of. Spiders, I could pick a spider up, I could put a snake around my neck. I'm not really fussed about those things, but I hate birds. I know there's a lot of seagulls in this city, and I'm only just...
Oh my God.
Oh, sorry, mate.
I know.
Meaty bastards.
I know.
We've literally, like, moved you to Seagull City.
I know.
Like, our office is, like... It's got a mob of them.
I hear them when I wake up in the morning. I'm like, why are you outside my window? So, you know, I'm going to get used to it. They're huge.
They're
meaty
motherfuckers. Yeah. So big.
Fucking rob your butties. Yeah. That's Neil. Smashed his glasses, getting his sandwiches.
Sorry, yeah.
Seagull story I've heard from second hand. I was laughing out loud when you told that in AFQ. My favourite ever story of a seagull.
I will yet again posit on AFQ my position that a seagull will lead the Labour Party before a woman. there is little shadow of a doubt in my mind on that one. And maybe we need to get on board with our seagull overlords, and it could be the thing that sends the red wall back over a period of time. What is your biggest tangible fear, John?
I'm scared of heights. Like, oh.
Well, I'll tell you what. You got looked after.
You got me off there, Annie.
Yeah.
Sorry, that's phobic. I am scared of heights. I didn't used to be, and then my dad was scared of heights, and I think he just got in my head because he was all like, oh, get away from there. So I was like, well, there must be something bad about that sheer drop. No, do you know what I mean? Like, you know, when you're like, you're near something, and like someone's like, oh, so I think it was that. Sorry, I'm scared of heights. Yeah, I don't know whether that.
Well, that is a tangible fear. Yeah. It's not like.
But not great on heights. Wobbly.
Okay, Chris, what are you scared of?
I'm still laughing at got in my head.
No, do you know what I mean?
I think like your like bedtime stories, that old little Timmy tightrope. I fucking hate roller coasters. I'm no fun at Alton Towers, at Blackpool. I went like recently within the last 12 months, and I just held bags all day. I just don't like them. I used to get quite car sick. When I was little, now I'm thinking my dad got on my head. But they just make me feel a bit ill, but I don't know if it's like...
So it goes back to the dads. But, well, cats in the cradle shit.
Is it being upside down, or is it just any roller coaster?
I think it's pace, yeah. Not a pasty man. you strap me to my pasty. I'd hate to like have a piggyback off Mo Salah. hate that.
Is that why you don't track back at 5-a-side?
No, I've got nail cleaning up at 5-a-side. I don't.
Okay, Mike, what is your tangible fear?
I don't know. I don't want to be like, oh, I've got no fears. I'm hard, aren't I? But I think until you're faced with it, you won't know. If that makes any sense, like you won't know. Like I remember going. I was on safari years ago. Like, yeah, you know, I went to South Africa where my auntie lived for a bit. We were on the safari, and it was a bridge across a lion's like den, about say 30 foot below you, and it was like a rickety bridge, and that was like, these could actually fucking eat me if I fall off this. Like, there's nothing for that 30 foot drop. No one's getting to you quick enough. There are they? So I was quite fearful of like lions for a bit. But that was like for half an hour of my life where it was an actual fear. Like I'm not coming to, like, there's no lion going to stroll in here in 5 minutes. So I'm not really that bothered. So like when you're coming face to face with these things that you, all of it creeps up on you. I think these tangible fears, I sort of get the flying thing. But then you get on a plane because you've got to go to places and live your life. I sit on the plane, we take off, and then it's like, oh, I'm sound now. I'm not scared of flying, I'd say, but it's a bit like, it's a bit of an apprehension, and then what could be, but then you might as well just crack on with life and see what happens.
Gunman claims he's scared of flying, but I think it's an excuse to have...
excuse to get leathered.
Yeah, basically, yeah. You've seen through it, Mike.
Well, I'm quite on board with that, to be honest with you.
I'm really scared of flying, so I've got to get the bar 4 hours before and have two bottles of wine.
Housemaster's been on. His at is at Seaside Mixers, Dolly's lad. And he says, you have the unmissable opportunity to remove, and it's very specific, this, the unmissable opportunity, Harry, to come with me on this. It's unmissable, this opportunity, to remove and replace one appliance from your kitchen. What do you remove, and what, he wants to know, do you replace it with? It's an unmissable opportunity. It's once in a lifetime. What are you removing from your kitchen, and what are you replacing
it with? Replacing an oven with a new oven or something?
I think so, right. Yeah.
Okay, well, that's a great angle.
That's not great.
I've been looking for a microwave.
Oh, I was thinking like a cheese grater.
I'd get a better peeler. But
you want something expensive.
I was thinking very small.
If you're not, well, it depends if you're going to have to pay for it or not. If honestly, not, you're going to go for
it. I had it way wrong.
Or a fridge, like one of those really fancy fridges that you can like, you know, turn the light switches on and off.
And
with heating stuff.
Effort.
I'm going to go oven, and all my teaspoons, all for Argus.
All for Argus?
No teaspoons, just 7 Argus.
Stirring his tea with a fork in the morning, eh?
But I do need a new microwave, so also a microwave.
So a microwave out and a microwave in.
But I haven't got one, so I can't replace it at the moment. So
you haven't got a microwave,
no,
so it can't be a new
microwave. Microwaveless, yeah, no.
Okay. I'm going to presume we're on top of the premise of the question. Chris, what are you going to take out of your kitchen? And you've got to replace it with presumably a much more upmarket version of the same model or the same thing, but I can't quite understand that. But go on.
The upgrades throw me. I was thinking like a different thing. I had a bit of, I guess you'd call it, like a Scandi breakdown over sort of the summer when I got rid of loads of my kitchen. Like we haven't got a toaster or a microwave and we're grilling bread. And so I'm not let on to cast, but I massively regret the toaster thing.
Yeah, that's like stupid though.
But I just think we didn't need it. But then suddenly you realise,
you need toast.
We have it all the time. Yeah. We actually had toast probably 7 times a week. But I just thought we didn't for about 10 minutes. Should the toaster went.
Should we just get rid of the windows?
Oh, true. That's off my idea. That's so 90s. But truth be told, no, the toaster was cutting the power. So I thought it's
cool. Toasters as well.
Yeah, that's the thing. One of them. I'd love a hotel toaster, like a little journey.
You went from zero to
that. Yeah, I'll have one of them. Like, don't need the space. I've got over the Scandi thing.
Done 3 months without. Yeah, now you've got industrial thing that does
industrial
for
revolution. That's what I want in my kitchen.
20 slices a minute.
1890. Give me it. Yeah, so I won't. I'd go.
I can't believe you got rid of your toaster one.
No, I didn't. It was broken. I didn't replace it. And I tried to sell that to Cass as a good idea. And she went along with it just, I think, to keep me quiet because she was working from home and I very much wasn't. And now here we are, toasterless.
I was going to say, is it too late to go back on the idea of buying a toaster?
Be honest with you.
You're too deep now, yeah.
100%. It's got personal pride, really. That and also, Cass has got these aunt and uncle that love gadgets. And they gave us this thing that's not a kettle. You can choose like the water temp, but just a mug at a time, which again, on paper, don't mind it. Sometimes you need a whole kettle. And I'm talking like pasta. You're steaming some broccoli. And I've got to do it on the hob and I've got to pretend that it's all right because the hot water gadget looks better than a kettle or has aesthetically, and that was my Scandi breakdown. So that's where I went through. I'm glad to have the platform. It was serious art.
We haven't answered the question, but I think you've really made us aware of the dangers of the question, Chris. That's the way I'm looking at this. You've not answered it, have you? But you've really, really framed the idea that this could go fucking badly wrong.
Stick, don't twist.
Mike, what are you replacing in your kitchen?
Can I have a little where I take the grill out the oven and get a fucking belt of George Foreman?
Yep, that's all right.
Because no one uses the grill in the oven. The man who doesn't replace a toaster uses the grill. But I reckon no sane person's using that fucking grill in the oven. Like, it's just graft. So I reckon get rid of that element of my oven and get a belt of George Foreman fella that might only get used like once a month or so. And you go, do you remember that? Remember we've got the George there? Lash it on the George.
Lash it on the George. John, what are you getting rid of? What are you replacing it with?
Yeah, I love it. Look great oven, I think. Yeah. Fridge freezer, when I see a really good one, yeah, I'm like, oh, Sam. But you know what? When we got the fridge, I was like, oh, I want like a water thing, you know, just the water.
The ice. I've
never used it. Can't be asked. And so, a belted oven, though, would be a game changer, I feel.
Okay. Excellent stuff. Where are we? What have we got next? We've only got a few minutes left. I might come back to that one and do it in a second from Chris Emptage. Chris, if I don't do it, do ask it again next week. Robbie Fowler's been on. Yeah, fuck it, we'll go with Robbie's. What's your favourite holiday purchase? So what he means is something you bought whilst away that's still useful now. So I don't want something that you got because it was a bit ironic or anything like that, or even that was a gift for someone else. Something that's in yours, something that is in yours, and you bought it when you were on holiday and you're still using it now. Mike, what have you got for me?
I don't know, that's hard, you know, because generally when you're on holiday, you just buy like mad shit and like people's presents, don't you? I don't think I've ever really improved my life apart from when I was a child away and bought a Barcelona ball.
It's fine.
I was the dog's bollocks in school for about 3 weeks until it.
That's perfect.
Yeah. So the Barcelona ball, it's not improved my life anymore because it got lost.
You know, you can think you can buy the £1 flip-flops and then they just break and the middle bit comes out. So I treated myself to a pair of, how do you even say it? Havaianas? Havaianas? Yeah. So I treated myself to a pair of those. They've lasted me years, so they're a good holiday purchase.
I mean, I've got a Havaianas story. I went to the World Cup in Brazil. Harry, I don't know if you've heard, but each host city had their own Havaianas because obviously it's a Brazilian company. And so I got some there and then they're still giving me well, but. Marrakesh is obviously a big place for shopping, but we bought loads of stuff there. But like loads of it, we're still using and stuff like that. And so it's little pots and stuff in the kitchen that are really good and stuff like that. So and yeah, there's a mirror that we've got downstairs up that's absolutely beautiful. And so anyone who goes to Marrakesh is the most amazing place, and you can get there for pennies really from most places in the UK. But it's a perfect holiday, and there's obviously the big markets that you know, that are very famous. Souk, sorry, Neil, I didn't realize it. I forgot you didn't have a microphone. So the souk, which is the winding streets of the markets and stuff. But about a mile away from there, there's like an artist kind of market thing, which is quite small, but it's got about 20 to 30. Creators of art who are kind of selling their stuff there. It's a bit like old school Quiggins for those who remember it. But much, much better. And that kind of vibe. But we bought some, we went there, we got encouraged to go there, and we bought some amazing stuff from there for like really good price. And it's up in our house. And so the mirror we got from there was beautiful. And I would love to go back. Marrakesh is incredible.
I feel like Mike's, John's up, my absolute kex down there because I was straight away thinking, dick-shaped bottle openers. So there's endless bottle openers, like, of where you've been. Holiday purchases to me are always just, like, a regret. Like, either you buy a thing that's not quite the same in your own house, or, like, you go, oh, that rug, that 9x9 rug, that would have looked nice there, though. So, I mean, like, it just feels like it's a purchase you didn't make. So, I feel like I'll get there. We've got a lovely, we've got a lovely little wax melter, which we got in Montenegro, which again is an amazing place to look to go. And as you light it, like just shit happens. The spinning, There's lights. It's lovely. So I reckon like little trinkets, not little things of where you've been and stuff. That's my little sort of like holiday buys. But it's the regret of the big things. So that's what I think. Even like a flat. Let's get a flat. That'd be nice.
I'm very into Marrakesh, and you can buy loads of incredible stuff in Marrakesh, in the souks and in the little markets and all the bits and pieces. You can get some incredible gear, both in terms of stuff for the home, stuff to wear. Honestly, if you haven't been to Marrakesh, by the way, I genuinely would heartily recommend it. And there's loads of really good diddles you can do as well. Both the Riyadhs are really cheaply priced, and also what we did, and I would do again, is we went to like a holiday resort, but it had a free bus every day to Marrakesh.
Yeah, I did as well.
So what we did was we went and we did, even though we paid for the room and the holiday gaff, we basically did, we went to the holiday place. We did, I think we were 9 days, and the first 4 days we did in the holiday gaff, and then we did 2 nights in a Riyadh in Marrakesh, because it was genuinely only about sort of 20 quid a night. And then enjoyed Marrakesh, came back to the holiday place, and it was like genuinely getting a city break and getting a holiday thing, and all your transport to and from was absolutely free. And I would genuinely recommend it, honestly. And if you haven't been to Marrakesh and you can afford to go.
I thought about living there, honestly. When I was there, I was like, I could live here. I was going to supermarkets and everything. I was looking at like estate agents. I was like, why don't I just move here?
I'm heavily in the market for a honeymoon right now. And that sounds wicked. So, oh, yeah.
No, it is the one. Honestly, I would recommend it at a moment's notice, Marrakesh.
Sensible thing I'd do now, though, is the food stuff. Like, go and get the spices and that from the place instead of just buying it in a little over here.
They have actual, in Marrakesh, again, I feel like I'm now in the Marrakesh tourist board, but they have shops that are entirely spices. You walk in, you tell them how much they want, they weigh it, they do the whole thing. You honestly...
I would subscribe to the Marrakesh.
You nearly got it. I nearly moved out there. It was overcast one day, and I was like, nah, shit, go back to Liverpool.
Yeah. All right. We're approximately at the hour mark. So we will go from there. Steve Byrne asked a question that I think has been asked before, but I do like it an awful lot. And it is this. Which cartoon world would you live in? So you can take any cartoon world, any animated environments. You can have any of them that you want. You can have Springfield if you want it. I don't know why you pick Springfield, but if you would, you would. Which cartoon world would you like to live in, John?
Flintstones, drink, them parties are good. Hoedown are they called, or some of the big parties they have, pretty cool.
Cheap MOTs as well.
Yeah.
Dirt cheap.
Yeah. They just always seem to have been on a laugh, do you know what I mean? And absolute babes in Flintstones, let's be right. Do you know what I mean? Barney's punching. So Barney can get a babe like he has, then fucking hell, I'll clean up.
I thought, are we living in this world as ourselves? Because I wouldn't like to live as...
Yes.
South Park, then, I reckon. It's a bit mad. But I reckon it's the one I watch the most. South Park, probably, for me.
Wacky Races.
Oh, it's a shout.
Don't you race it every day, though?
Yeah,
never get a day off.
I think you love it.
Disasterly, though.
But I think you love it.
Oh, you get sick of it.
I don't know. I think... Okay, mate, I mean...
Motley as well.
Can I go somewhere else at the weekend? Can I go to Dexter's Lab at the weekends? Is that all right?
I think you'd have to, because no one can fucking Wacky Race every day of their lives.
Or tell you what, that cul-de-sac that Ed and Eddie lived on, that's all right. That's quiet. Nothing happens there. And then Monday, Friday, Wacky Racer, pop there.
Yeah. Go on to the family.
Got custody of Ed and Eddie at the weekend.
I'd go for Powerpuff Girls. Applied to be the fourth Powerpuff Girl. It's probably not an opening, but I'd probably do that.
I thought it was a literal thing there. Like, that's sort of the point you've done that.
I actually applied. I did go Powerpuff Girls fancy dress once, so there you go.
Did you?
I don't actually. I was in the...
Have you got a picture so we can make it the image of the show?
Absolutely not. probably somewhere, but no.
And never confess. Never confess to that. Listen, we've had an absolutely fantastic time here in the brewery with the bar attached. And it's also... also got just a little bit of that sort of thing on the walls there. There is a stuffed deer, which long-time listeners to the Anfield Rap will know that we always, always like to reference when we can see a little bit of those ins and outs. If you haven't had the time to check out our beer, John, it is startlingly nice, isn't it? Frankly, it was far nicer than we ever expected. Oh, you go on.
It's absolutely beautiful. Every other Saturday.
I don't mind it one bit.
Every other Saturday at the moment it's still... Golden Sky. I can't remember what the old name was. It's that past me. But yeah, you go to Glenn Effrick, website you can buy it from there. There's some stockers across Merseyside as well, so nice ones to them. And then, but I would encourage anyone who's in the area to come down to the tap room because it tastes beautiful on draft.
And the Whittle is just there. My general Whittle position is we just got a boat over. It took less than 5 minutes. It certainly felt that way, and it was nice as well in the outdoor air. There's loads of really good stuff happening on the peninsula at the minute, and whilst we are a bit limited in our movements, we should most definitely be checking stuff out. The Whittle is just there. If you're ever thinking about coming to Liverpool, you can come and stay this side. It takes no time at all to get to and from. It is always a pleasure to be around. Thank you very much indeed, John Gibbons, Mike Kearney, Harriet Pryor and Chris Barber. It has been our AFQ in the Glenafric Brewery over on the Whittle Peninsula. Take it easy.